Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing "There's Something About That Name."
Good morning, church. It is good to see everyone here this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Hillcrest Baptist Church. Just have a few announcements, just some reminders about goings on throughout the week. Tonight we will have a regular service at 6 p.m., so we ask that you do come back and join us if you're able. Wednesday nights, we will have regular activities going on, RAs, GAs, Mission Friends, youth, as well as prayer meeting. So please come, invite your friends. We would love to have you on Wednesdays as well. Some things going on in the youth world. Fuge is coming up. If you have a teenager and who will be going into seventh grade next year, who is interested in going to Fuge, come see me. Today is the deadline for the deposit, but money should never be an issue on whether or not a teenager goes to camp. So please come see me if you're interested in that. That's in June. I can't remember the dates. Anybody remember the date? 7th? It's June 7th, Hadley told me. So I need my 10-year-old to remind me of dates anymore. But June 7th, we will be going to Central South Carolina, I believe is where it is. And we'll be serving as the youth group, and so we're excited about that. Also, we have some service projects coming up. May 15th, the youth will be gathering together to hand out some literature about our church and about becoming a Christian, and as the teenagers learn to share their faith. So be in prayer for them as well. But we do want to welcome everyone here to Hillcrest this morning. We want to welcome our visitors. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to stand up, we're going to turn, we're going to wave to each other as we sing.
Hey, Steve.
Miss Claudia has one other announcement that she would like to share with you.
This is a very important announcement. I see a lot of ladies out there. All the ladies, if you'll just raise your hand, please, so I can see how many. Oh, great group. This Wednesday at 5:30, we're going to have Women on Missions. I want you all to be there. We're going to study about our missionaries, both home and far. And I think it'd be great if you all would show up. We're going to meet in the library, and I would love to see a problem that we have so many ladies that we have to move somewhere else. So please prayerfully consider coming this Wednesday, 5:30. It may be a short meeting first time, see how it goes, but it's been over a year since we've had Women on Missions. I'm excited about starting back again. It's been way too long, and we need to stop and think how we can be missionaries to people in the community and maybe do some community work for folks in Clarksville. So please, 5:30, everybody got that? Hope to see you there Wednesday.
And you may be seated as we continue on with In the Garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there,
Please stand as we keep going with Jesus is all the world to me.
Thank you. week, we offer this time right now for prayer and thankfulness of God's blessings for us. He has provided for us. If you came in tonight or today and you looked outside on that massive expanse of concrete and the steel that's laying out in the grass, it's all coming together. The Lord is providing every penny of that. I think at this particular time that we should come in humbleness and thankfulness for all He has done for us. Let us pray. Father, we come to You who is holy, holy, holy. Father, You have provided us for this light, for this building, and for the future growth of this church. Father, give us the Spirit to fill this church and fill every nook and cranny with people wanting to be like Christ. Father, there are so many places in this world that could not meet like this. There would be police knocking at the door. There would be secret police writing everyone's name down for loss of housing, food privileges. But here we have the freedom to worship. We thank You for this. Father, and most of all, we thank You for coming and dying on the cross for our sins individually. For we know it wasn't those nails that held You to the cross, but it was our sins. Father, we ask that You might be with our attitude, the way we look during this service, that we might look upon You as Father who is holy, sitting in heaven. Father, we thank You and praise You for the gifts that You have indeed given to us and the blessings we know You will give in the future, for we thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You know, next Sunday is Mother's Day. Guys, did you hear me? All right. I did notice this past week that Rhonda needs some new windshield wipers. So let me warn you guys, do not get your wife windshield wipers like I did several years ago. And probably it's a good idea not to get her something with an electric cord attached to it either. We sure do love our mothers, don't we? The women in our lives. So next Sunday we'll celebrate the women that have influenced all of us, whether it be mom, grandmom, or just a lady we look towards as a mom. Today we're going to be in the all over the Bible, so I hope you have your Bibles with you. We're going to start out in Psalm 63, but before we do that, as you're opening your Bible, I want to pray. We have some health issues in our church that God needs to do something about. So I would ask you that you would pray for healing. I can't mention all their names, but there are pretty major concerns. We have some that are just kind of struggling. Several of our families they're just not the families they ought to be. Satan has just gotten his way too much. So if you would you pray with me and just lift up our family to the Lord. Almighty Father, what an awesome God You are. The only God, there is no other. Lord, we come to You knowing that You're a living God. You are sitting on the throne, but You're also abiding in our lives and our hearts. Father, we're so very grateful that You call us Your people. You provide for us, Lord. You You take care of our needs. You heal when healing needs to take place. You hear our prayers and our cries, and Lord, you answer those prayers according to your will. What a great God you are. I pray, Father, for those needs that you know what they are, the health needs, and Father, they're young through mature ages. And we ask, Lord, that they would feel a very special touch from Jesus today. Lord, that you would heal. We believe that you're able to, and we come to you asking for that. We pray, Lord, for the future of our church. Lord, we're building a building to glorify you, and I pray, Lord, that it would draw us closer together as a church body. Lord, that you would teach us how to use it to reach the neighborhood, to reach the world. I pray, Lord, that it would be a family life center, but it also be a missions center. God, that we would use it for ministry. I do pray, Lord, that you would use us to pay for it. We know that everything we have comes from you. And Father, I pray that as you bless us, that we bless you back. Today, Father, the message, you know what it is, and help me, Father, to speak your words today. And Father, I pray that you touch our hearts, revive us, Lord, draw us closer to you. I do pray, Lord, that we would know without a doubt that God's in this church this morning. Father, we love you and we praise you, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 63, verses 3 through 5, and then we're going to go to other places in the Bible, but let's look at this for a second. Psalm 63, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." The title of this message is God's Seven Wonders. You know, we just got back from visiting the ocean, and maybe my favorite time, I know it's my favorite time on vacation, is get out on the ocean by myself and look out and see as far as I can see. And I don't even know how long that far that is, but I'm sure some of those storms I see are 20 or 30 miles away, but I see God light up that light, that sky, and it just puts me in awe of God. So I want to ask you today, how many times, how often do you really enjoy the wonders of God? It's real easy to think about it now that I'm reminding you, but it's also easy to forget about His wonders as life is easy. Seems like when it's hard, we start wondering about Him more and being in awe of Him. But if you Google wonders of the world, you'll find a link that takes you to the seven wonders of the ancient world. So I went there, and some of them, they run from 2500 BC to 280 BC, and one of them was the Great Pyramid at Giza. And as you look at that, you kind of wonder, how'd they put that thing together? Back 2500 BC, how in the world did they get all those stones together? The other one was the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. That was 600 BC in Iraq. The Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, 550 BC. Then again at 323 BC, and that was in Turkey. The Statue of Zeus at Olympia, 450 BC in Greece. The Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, 351 BC in Turkey. Colossus of Rhodes, 292 BC in Greece, and the Lighthouse of Alexandria, 280 BC in Egypt. And I'm picturing all these, I'm seeing the pictures on Google, on the link I went to, and I'm thinking they all have something in common, every single one of them. Would you care to guess what it is that all of these seven wonders had in common? They're all man-made, every single one of them. Now I want you to think about the wonders of God, and they're not man-made. And we're going to get into that in just a few moments. Think about And take this time with me. Think about some of the wonders that God has made. And start with this earth, how he put this earth together. And all the things on this earth. So just take a moment to think. Think of it like you're watching something on PBS. This earth, and they'll show a picture of the earth. They'll show the seven seas, and they'll show the continents and all that stuff. And all the in-betweens. And God did that. God alone did that. Think about the human beings that he created and all those things inside of us, all those organs inside of us that keep us going, keep us alive. Every single moment we ought to be thinking about the wonders of God. If you've ever had a part replacement on your body, you'll realize what an awesome God we have when you had your original part that you don't have anymore. God put our bodies together, and he knows those intricate things inside our bodies that some of our doctors have not even seen yet, although they say they can make a body. I have a word for that, but I won't say it. All these organs, God put them together. He knew what he was doing. Think about the Grand Canyon. And you hear the documentary say that all these rivers met together and it eroded into the Grand Canyon. But I'm going to stand up here and say God said, part and be a Grand Canyon. And that's exactly how it was created. The oceans, Niagara Falls, the moon, sun, the planets, all the stars that he put out there, and he knows exactly where they're at. These are the wonders of God. In fact, I think as Christians, don't we believe that he created every single thing on this earth? So as we think about the wonders of the world, I want you to think about the wonders of the Lord. And that's what the message is going to be about today. I want us to be able to stand in awe of God and relive the awe-ness, if that's such a word, of being in awe of God. I think sometimes we get caught up in life and we forget about being in awe of God until we need him, and then he answers a prayer, and then all of a sudden, oh, isn't God great? But God is great every single second of our lives. Yeah, make sure you're awake. I hadn't done it yet. I hadn't put you to sleep yet. So let's start out in Psalm 63. And we're going to look at verse 1 again. And David is in some kind of trouble, probably hiding from his son Absalom. And look at verse 63, verse 1. As you know that David is in some kind of deep trouble, look how he starts out. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So David, in his trouble, is claiming God as his God. He is worshiping God and seeking to be in the presence of God as he's struggling probably with his son. And the Bible says David seeks God, his soul thirsts for God, his soul, his heart, his whole inner being is longing for God. No matter what he's going through, David is desiring more and more to be in the presence of God. As he desires to be in the presence of God, God is drawing him in to God's own presence. And he longs for that. He thirsts for that. His greatest desire right now is for God to be his God, and then God draw him into his presence as he stands in awe of God. How often do you take the time to get alone with God? And as you do, you just stand in awe of God. Now, be honest. Don't answer me out loud unless you want to. How often do you just stand in awe of God? Put aside all the junky things we have in what we call life, the problems that we have in life, the health issues, the money issues, the family issues, and put all those aside because David was going through the same kind of stuff. Yet he stood in front of God and said, God, you're my God. Can you imagine how he felt as he's talking to God like this? I'll bet that the cares of this world is just being taken away by God as he worshiped God, as he tries his best to get in the presence of God. So let me throw this at you. Instead of being in awe of God's creations, and there's nobody loves the ocean more than I do, the Grand Canyon is in our bucket list to go visit one of these days. I'd love to see the redwood forest and all the things of God, but let me throw this at you. Instead of watching and being in awe of his creations, how about just being in awe of God? We don't need the creations to draw us to God, but we get caught up in stuff and we lose our awe of God. So if you don't hear anything else, hear this. No matter what happens, we ought never lose our awe of God. Look at verse 3, 63 verse 3, and see how David starts that. Because your loving kindness is better than what? God's better than anything we have. God's better than any feeling that we have. God's better than any prosperity we may have or any beauty that we're looking at. God is better than life itself. Can you say that God is better than life itself? In verse 1, can you say like David that God is your God? Are you in awe of God and then God's wonders? Do you thirst for God? Do you long for God? Do you truly seek to be in the presence of God? Not because of what God can do for you, but just because it's God. It amazes me that God created me. You can't imagine how often I get up in this pulpit and I feel so unworthy. Yet God put me here. He put you in that pew right now. He created a way to bring us together today to worship Him, to hear what He has to say to us. Amen. And David said it really well. God, you're my God, and I stand in awe of you. What a lesson for us. This past year has been pretty tough, hasn't it? Sometimes our focus has gotten completely off God to realize God's the only answer for it. Stand in awe of God in every single thing we do, every moment of thought we have. Truly seek to be in God's presence. Let's keep on going to Psalm 105. And I want to look at just 4 or 5 verses. Psalm 105, actually the first 5 verses. All these verses will have a theme that connect them. So Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. The psalmist writes in verse 1, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. I want to share just a few thoughts that kind of tie in with 63 and Psalm 105. First, the Bible says, give thanks to the Lord for what He's done. So my question becomes, what has He done in your life? And if we had a time of testimony, 3 or 4 of you would come up with something to done with. But He's talking to all of us. We all ought to be able to share what He's done in our life. If He saved you, we ought to all be able to say, Lord, my God has saved me. Right? Shake your head. Yes. The second thing, make known His deeds. Again, God is talking to all of us. Be specific, the deeds in your life. God has healed some from diseases. That's pretty specific. That's a deed he's done in your life. God has provided oodles and oodles of blessings for each one of us. Some of the blessings are different from mine. Yours are different, Carolyn, than mine is. Some of them are the same. Make known the deeds he's done in your life. He's talking to us. What's that require? That requires our mouth working. Make known his deeds. The Bible says, talk of his wondrous works. Open your eyes and see the works of God and tell people about them. This world is starving for God. It's starving to know the wonders of God. We tell them, although they'll make fun of us, sometimes they'll run us out of the room. But what does God tell us to do? Make known his deeds, make known his wondrous works. And if we can't tell people about that, who can? Remember those wondrous works as you stand in awe of God. I'm standing in one of his wondrous works right now. You're sitting in one. This thing's paid for. It was paid for just a few years after it was built. Soon we'll be standing in another of his wondrous works. Hopefully we can say it'll be paid for just in a couple years. In fact, we could probably take up a collection and pay for it today. That would require faith. Great faith. There were seven wonders in the ancient world. If you keep going, Googling, you'll find there were seven wonders in the modern world. But I want to talk about God's wonders today. And I came, and there's a lot more than I've come up with, but I want to share seven of God's wonders today. So let's start out in 1 John 4. It's almost at the end of your book. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And these are wonders of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Did you hear that? Not that we love him, but he loved us. Amen. And he sent his Son as propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The first wonder of God is God's wondrous love towards us. The Almighty God, our Creator, loves you. Now hear what I have to say. No matter what you feel, no matter what you're going through, God loves you. What a wonder that is, because we're talking about the Creator of this earth, these bodies, everything in this earth, the great Creator, the great God, and He loves us. When we sin, He still loves us. He, in fact, we'll get to it in a minute, but he died on the cross because he loved us. So let's go to the second wonder, and it's in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And this wonder is that God came and lived among us. So Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Who was that child? It was Jesus. Who was Jesus? God with us. So it was that while they were there that the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The second wonder I want you to know about is God came to be man on this earth. That man was Jesus, who was born of flesh and bones, just so he could experience life as we do. He experienced hardships. He experienced being tired. I don't think he ever got depressed, but he was around depressed people. He experienced the things that you and I did on the cross. He experienced the pain like you and I have never experienced. He knows exactly what's going on in our lives. He knows the heartaches that we experience. He knows the testings that we go through because he walked on this earth. So he loved us and he walked on this earth. And he was tempted just like we are. He understands us. Sometimes we don't understand him. Remember the two disciples on the Emmaus Road? And Jesus walked up right into them and they were discussing everything that happened and they just didn't quite understand. And what did Jesus do? He started talking to them, and as he talked to them, their hearts were touched because Jesus understood that they didn't understand. So he explained it to them just plain as day. And as Jesus left, they just knew that they understood what had happened. Well, Jesus is still speaking like this. So run over to Hebrews, right before James. And this is to you and I about understanding. Jesus wants to make sure that we understand. And in Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7, therefore, when Jesus came into this world, he said, sacrifice and offering, God, you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So he's talking to his Father. He's talking so that we all understand. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure, God. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. He's come to do the will of God. So, yes, he came to this earth to do the will of God, to draw us to him through the cross, to satisfy God for our sins. Keep on going and look at the third wonder. It's the cross. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 46. The wonder of the cross. Luke 23, starting in verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth, and the ninth hour, until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. The wonders of God, love, he came to earth, then he hung on the cross because of his love for us. Because he came on this earth to understand us. He came on this earth because we're sinful. And there had to be a sacrifice for the sins. There had to be something. Somebody had to pay the price. And God paid our price. The wonders of the cross. He took care of our sin problem. We need to understand that sin separates us from God. The world needs to understand that. Jesus came and died because we couldn't take care of it. There's a fourth wonder that I came up with, and that's conversion. So we're going to look over in John chapter 3, and you're going to have to follow me with this, several verses. So if you would, turn to John chapter 3. The miracle, the wonder of conversion. So John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The wonder of conversion. We must be born again. If we want to go to heaven, we must be born again. But keep on going. Look at John 3:16. We must be converted. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. You must be born again if you want everlasting life. Look at John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that he would save the world through Jesus. So you must be reborn again. You must believe that Jesus died for your sins, and only Jesus can save us. And keep on going, look at verse 18. He who believes in him, in Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. When we're saved, we see the miracle of the cross. We see the miracle of conversion. We see the wonders of God as we think about these things that took place in our lives. The wonder of conversion, just being born again, that means that we've been changed. We've been renewed in God's vision and His heart. There is a stipulation to all this, and it's John 14 and 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, except through the cross. After you get saved, we see another wonder, and that's peace and joy. Run over to Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. This is one of my favorite verses that one of the first verses I memorized. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look what verse 7, the wonder in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So the wonder of peace and joy after conversion, after salvation, after the death on the cross, after God's love is abiding in us. As we gather all those things that draw us to God and we stand in awe of God and we serve God as if we're in awe of God and we start making these things known to people, we get the peace that passes our human understanding. How many of us long for that peace? I hope we all do. All of us are going to experience it one day or another. We're going to lose a loved one that we're just really in love with or close to. And instead of them crying tears, we're going to say, yee-haw, because that person's saved and they're in heaven. They're much better off than me. That's the peace that passes on all the understanding that you and I have in our minds. How can you be joyous when you lose a loved one? Because God puts that peace in you because we know where they're at. Thank you so much, Lord. In Galatians 5 and 22, the Bible says, love, peace, and joy are the characteristics of the reborn person, the new creation. Love, peace, and joy. When God gives something in order, the most important always starts out first, love, peace, joy. These three characteristics are really important to God to give to us. Because he knows how this world is, how depressing it can be, how situations cause us to lose our peace or to forget about our peace, or we just don't enjoy the peace. The sixth wonder that I want to share with you is his plan for the future. So Acts chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. Now when Jesus had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up in a cloud, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood there looking steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, men of Hillcrest, people of Hillcrest Baptist Church, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. One day he's coming back.
Amen.
Could be today. He's coming again. Run over to Revelation 19, last book in the Bible, almost last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 19. Verses 11 through 16. John writes, Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes wars. His eyes were like a flame of fire on his head, and with many crowns he had a name written that no one else knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Where did they follow him? That's him coming back. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that it is he who strikes the nations, and he himself will rule them with a wrought iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming again to those that know and serve him. He will take us up to be with him. There's a seventh wonder, and that's your commitment to Jesus. I find it amazing that God can use us to serve him. If I were to ask you today to raise your hands, and I'm not asking you to do this, but how many of you feel qualified to work for God today? Hopefully not a single one of us would feel qualified. But he uses every single one of us to do his work. So the seventh wonder I want to share with you is our commitment to Jesus. Because we're his ambassadors, the Bible tells us. We're the ones that represent him. We're the ones that tell of all his wondrous works, all the deeds that he's done in our lives and in the life of our church, and just in general, who God is. And maybe you say, well, I can't serve him because. Well, the because is taken care of in Philippians 4:13. What's that say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me the power. So today, have you committed your life to Jesus? Totally committed without withholding anything back. That's what he's looking for. Tell of his wondrous works. Tell of the deeds he's done in your life. Are you willing to be part of his wonder? Because we are. We're these wonderful human beings he created. We're these wonderful human beings that he's saved. We're these wonderful human beings that he's given us talents to save him, or to serve him. We're the wonderful human beings that he gave us a mouth to tell others about the wondrous works and deeds that he's done for us. And we're the wondrous human beings that receive that power in Philippians 4:13. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. So with that verse in mind, can you tell me one thing that you cannot do if Christ wants you to do it? Are we willing to commit our lives to God, rededicate our lives to God, to realize that we don't always stand in awe of God? Do we tell the world about the wondrous things that he does for us? The deeds in our lives that has been accomplished only by God. I'm going to say something. I don't mean for it to hurt anybody's feelings, but I just thought of it, so I'm going to say it. If it offends you, get over it. If God has healed you from anything, especially something that would take you to the grave, and you're sitting here today, you ought to give wondrous, tell others about that wondrous deed that God has done in your life.
Amen.
As your preacher, I love you enough to tell you that. If he's done anything great in your life, you ought not be scared to tell anybody about it. Be proud that he did some wondrous deed in your life, and tell others, because we need to hear it. I'm getting gold chills up and down my back right now. We need to hear it. We need to be encouraged that God touched you and healed you. Don't cheat us out of that. Don't cheat the world out of it. They're just waiting to get saved. They don't know it, but they are. Jesus came to save those people. He came to save us. So your preacher is telling you, if God has done any wondrous work in your life, you ought to thank Him for that today. What if He didn't heal you when you needed it? There's a good chance you wouldn't be here today. Just food for thought. That was free. That didn't cost you anything. Thank you, God, for each person here today. I have prayed and prayed and prayed for this message. I did not want to preach it wrong. I wanted it to be straight from God, His thoughts. Sometimes, you know, I can muddle those things up. But today I've been praying, Lord, let us hear to be in awe of You. How often we're not in awe of God. We just don't go about business and forget who God is. But we're His chosen people. We're His adopted people. He's the ones that He saved us for Him. That's it. No more. If you know Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know the Lord, then I'm going to offer an invitation to come forward and say, Brother Jerry, I had no idea what you were talking about today. And I'll help you. I'll help you pray for Jesus to come into your life, to show you what I was talking about. We got other people that will pray with you if you want it. Maybe you've been hesitant about giving a testimony of what God's done. Today would be a good day to say, Lord, I think I got my toes stepped on. Forgive me. But give me the strength. So let's stand, and I'll be up here. If you need to pray, you come on forward, and any decision you need to make, come on up, and we'll make that decision with you.
how lost I would be.
Almighty Father, we love you and praise you and thank you, God, for the privilege of meeting today at Hillcrest Baptist Church. I pray your blessings on each one, Father. I pray for this day that it would continue to bring you honor and glory. Father, if we're able to come back tonight and worship one more time, and I pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.